Mass movements, whether religious crusades, political revolutions, or nationalist uprisings, share a common psychological foundation that transcends their specific ideologies. Eric Hoffer's penetrating analysis reveals that the same types of people prove susceptible to wildly different movements. In pre-Hitler Germany, restless youth joined either communist or Nazi parties with equal fervor. In Tsarist Russia, brothers from the same Jewish family might become revolutionaries or Zionists. This fluidity of allegiance demonstrates something profound. The specific doctrine matters less than the psychological needs it fulfills. What drives seemingly ordinary people to surrender their individuality and embrace causes that demand total devotion? The answer lies not in the content of the movement's beliefs, but in the universal human need for meaning, belonging, and escape from a frustrating present. Frustration drives people to join mass movements. Those who view their lives as irreparably damaged cannot find meaning in personal advancement and instead seek rebirth through something larger than themselves. This frustration may originate from economic struggles, social displacement, personal failures, or existential emptiness. Mass movements provide three vital substitutes: faith to replace self-doubt, collective excellence to replace individual inadequacy, and external preoccupations to distract from internal emptiness. The psychological transformation is powerful. Individuals who feel powerless alone discover unlimited strength as movement members. Personal failures become insignificant when absorbed into a greater cause. The movement supplies ready-made answers to life's questions and a clear worldview, replacing uncertainty with conviction. Why battle your inadequacies alone when you can dissolve them in the glory of a sacred cause? Not everyone is equally susceptible to mass movements. Temporary misfits, adolescents, unemployed graduates, veterans, immigrants feel frustrated without having found their place but still maintain hope. They're receptive to movements but rarely become staunch converts since they haven't fully rejected their sense of self. Even small improvements can reconcile them with the world. The most vehement converts are often frustrated creative types who failed decisively. Neither fame, power, nor achievements elsewhere satisfy them. When forced by shortcomings to lose faith in themselves, they separate their selfishness from their ineffectual selves and attach it to a holy cause. Even those with unlimited opportunities can experience frustration as potent as those lacking opportunity. When possibilities seem boundless, the present feels depreciated. All I'm doing is chicken feed compared to what's left undone. This explains why revolutionary fervor often emerges during gold rushes and boom times. Widespread boredom reliably indicates a society's ripeness for mass movements. Hitler exploited society ladies, thirsting for adventure, sick of their empty lives. It's striking how often those with the most comfortable lives feel the most profound emptiness. How do movements transform ordinary people into willing martyrs? The most effective method is complete assimilation into a collective body, where individuals see themselves as indispensable members of a greater whole. This effacement of individual identity must be thorough, with every act connecting the person to the group. Being cast out should feel equivalent to being cut off from life itself. Make-believe transforms mundane reality into sacred drama, making self-sacrifice easier. To our naked selves, nothing is worth dying for, but when we see ourselves as actors in a staged performance, death loses its finality. Hitler dressed Germans in costumes for a bloody opera with elaborate rallies and ceremonies. Churchill cast Londoners as heroes performing before ancestors during the Blitz, turning ordinary citizens into participants in historical drama. Mass movements initially appear to champion the present against the past, but soon shift to focus entirely on the future while denigrating both past and present. When the present is portrayed merely as a stepping stone to a magnificent future, be it a heavenly kingdom, social utopia, or nationalist triumph, followers more readily sacrifice their immediate comfort and even their lives. Mass movements cannot survive without belief in a devil, even if they exist without belief in God. A movement's strength directly correlates with how vividly it portrays its enemy. Hitler understood this, stating that if Jews didn't exist, we should have to invent him, revealing a fundamental truth about mass movements' requirements. The ideal enemy must appear omnipotent and omnipresent, capable of causing all failures. Every movement shortcoming must be attributable to this devil's machinations. This enemy must maintain a dual nature, simultaneously foreign yet domestic. Pure foreigners are too distant to serve as effective devils, while domestic enemies need foreign connections to fulfill their role. The psychology of hatred shows that while we rarely seek allies when we love, we invariably seek them when we hate. When we commit grave injustices, we paradoxically develop intense hatred toward our victims, a mechanism that justifies our actions and suppresses guilt. Haven't you noticed how often perpetrators of injustice convince themselves they're the real victims? Mass movements emerge only after the prevailing order has been discredited, not automatically through power blunders, but through deliberate work by articulate men of words with grievances. These intellectuals prepare the ground by undermining existing institutions and normalizing the idea of change. The fault-finding intellectual shakes existing beliefs through ridicule, yet ironically prepares ground not for free thinking, but for new fanatical faith. Renaissance irreverence led to Reformation fanaticism. Enlightenment reason unleashed revolutionary passion. Marxist critique birthed communist fanaticism. When the old order crumbles, many vocal intellectuals panic at glimpses of anarchy and seek protection from men of action. Meanwhile, fanatics thrive in chaos, working with all his might and recklessness to destroy the present completely. Eventually, practical men of action emerge as stabilizing forces, saving movements from self-destruction while marking the end of their revolutionary phase. The final transformation occurs when the movement attracts ambitious careerists. What once served as a refuge from individual existence becomes an institution offering careers. The movement that once channeled frustration into revolutionary change now reconciles people to the existing order, offering distant hope as an opiate while maintaining power structures. No matter how noble a movement's purpose, its active phase inevitably appears unpleasant or even evil. The dominating fanatic is typically ruthless, self-righteous, and willing to sacrifice everything for the cause. Mass movements stifle creativity by demanding constant participation, subordinating art to propaganda, and enforcing conformity. Yet mass movements often revitalize stagnant societies. While not the only instruments of renewal, they generate the fervent enthusiasm needed for renovation in large, heterogeneous societies. A genuine popular upheaval can invigorate a nation, breaking down old barriers and forging new social bonds. This paradox is central to Hoffer's analysis. Mass movements can be both destructive and regenerative, both expressions of human pathology and tools for social renewal. The true believer, despite his frightening devotion, remains an indispensable historical force. In our polarized world, understanding this psychology isn't merely academic. It's essential for balancing necessary change with dangerous fanaticism. By recognizing the true believer in others and ourselves, we might find progress that doesn't require surrendering our humanity.